And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, I want to talk to you about something very vital, something so significantly important to you that, well, I cannot stress it enough. This has to do with your pocketbook, with your life, with the success, the good fortune, the rewards, and the punishment you and I might receive from the New World Order elite over the next decade, the next year, our lifetime. You know, I have talked before, I've warned before about the Rothschild banking dynasty, the Rothschilds. And I want to bring that into clear focus today. Now, America's just gone through an incredible wrenching, upsetting time over this Obama medical care bill that was passed by our Congress and swiftly signed into law by our president, turning over 1/6 of the U.S. economy and something as vital as health care, our medical needs, yes, our lives, to the government bureaucrats. And of course, it has to do with $1 trillion of taxes that they say really don't exist. They're doing us a favor. They're cutting the deficit by spending another $1 trillion. That makes no sense, but these are the liars and cunning jackals that we have in Washington, D.C. Now, let's go beyond health care and the $1 trillion that they're going to waste. Let's go beyond the fact that the next order a business on the agenda is the immigration amnesty bill. And forget about the word reform. This is amnesty, in which 35 million illegal aliens, forget about the 11 or 12 million they tell you are here. I'm telling you there are 35 million are going to get free medical care because Obama is going to place them with his new amnesty bill on what he calls, quote, the pathway to citizenship. Once you're a citizen, you get all the goodies. Hey, they get most of the goodies now, and they're not even citizens. They're illegals. They're criminals that have violated our laws on the border. But now we're going to be giving them everything. Why don't we just turn over the keys to our hospitals and say, here they are. They're yours, Mexico. But that's what we're going to be doing. You say, oh, no, we're going to fight that. Folks, if you couldn't defeat the Obama medical care plan that takes over 1/6 of the U.S. economy, how are you going to stop this immigration bill? And then next is the cap and trade, the gigantic, incredible tax that's going to be placed on anything that runs on oil or gasoline or any kind of fuel. And, of course, your home air conditioning, heating systems, all those bills are all going to go up like crazy. Taxes are going to go up. And believe me, most people don't pay any taxes in America. Did you hear what I just said? Did you know that over 1/2 of all Americans pay zero income taxes? Naturally, they don't care. But if you pay taxes, you better care because they're going to come want much more from you. Much, much more. But let's go beyond the taxes. I want to talk to you today about the juggernaut global international system that is prophesied to occur in the last days, the beast that comes up out of the earth, the beast that requires every man, woman, and child to take a mark or a name or the number of the beast. And that system is now being put in place by the international banking corporate cartel with all of the communist socialist politicians around the globe from Sarkozy, president of France, to Gordon Brown, the communist prime minister in Great Britain, to our own communist president, Barack Obama, and so on and so on. But behind it all, there is the mastermind of the Rothschild dynasty and their banking system. Did you notice what I said? It's not our banking system. It's not the United States banks. It's international banks, some of them headquartered in America, that are run by the Rothschild and their cronies. Now, if you don't have my video, Rothschild's Choice, you must have that, because it will explain this hidden cabal that gave us Barack Obama and has masterminded a plot now to destroy America. And believe me, they're fast on their way to doing it. What can stop them? I don't see anything that can stop them. Except maybe God, if he desires it. Of course, he's all powerful. He can do anything. But perhaps he wants this to happen because after all, can we blame God? He's been warning us for almost 2,000 years. We've had the New Testament and he warned us. He kept saying in the last days, things will wax worse and worse. That was the writings of the Apostle Paul. James talked about in the last days, rich men will gather all the treasures, the gold, the silver, all the precious gems. And they'll defraud working men. And when working men and women complain, they'll kill them. That's in the book of James, chapter 5. The letter from James, that is. James, the brother of Jesus, said, watch out, in the last days, the rich will defraud the working people. And when the working people complain, the rich will have them killed, murdered. This should not come as a surprise to you, dear friends. But today I'm going to unravel. I want to talk about a particular bank which has risen to the very pinnacle of global power. A money bank. A Rothschild-owned bank. A bank so immense, so huge, that even the newspapers of this world are actually admitting that this one bank rules the whole world. And I suspect that one out of a million Americans, if that, understand this terrible fact. You will understand the predicament that America and you and I are in when you understand that there is one bank that is so hideously evil, I believe it is the very brain and eyes of the serpent. The Bible says, Paul said in his letter to Timothy, that the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money, the inordinate love, the affection, the esteem in which certain men hold money, creates a sickness, a disease in their heart that crowds out any love of God. And it is this disease, this malfunction in their psychology, in their heart, you might say, because they have heart disease, closed arteries, no nutritious substance of value, meaning spirituality, can enter therein because the valves, the arteries are closed. The heart beats only for the love of money. This is the bank of the Rothschilds that runs the Obama government, that runs our Congress, that runs London's city, their power, that runs Paris and Tokyo and Tel Aviv and Rio de Janeiro and Mexico City. This is a bank called Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs. Do not forget the name Goldman Sachs. As I was doing my research on Goldman Sachs Bank, investment house, banking house, that has its octopus-like tentacles across the globe and in all 50 of American states, and certainly has grasped on like a serpent sinks its fangs and teeth into our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this great world bank of Satan and Rothschild owns America. You may think you own your home and your car, but you, dear friends, are wrong. You drive that car only because of the mercy and the goodness and the kindness and generosity of your federal government. You say, that's not true. I can drive anywhere I want to. They own the roads. And they're fast selling them now and turning them into toll roads, by the way. You can't even drive your car. As far as your house, do you have a mortgage on it? Then don't tell me it belongs to you. You say, well, I own it outright. I've paid for it. I don't even have a mortgage on it. That's okay. They could raise the taxes so severely that you're not going to be able to afford to pay your taxes. Then they'll take it away from you. They'll have a nice little tax auction on the steps of the courthouse and assign your house over to a bank. How can they do that? Well, that's the tax collection system. Don't pay your taxes. They foreclose on your house. Take it away. Now, you don't own anything, friend. You don't even have a job unless they allow it. And for whatever reason now, they're more than happy that over 20% of American workers have no productive job. Now, I want to talk about Goldman Sachs. I was doing this research and I came across a website that I found more than interesting. GoldmanSachs666.com. I kept my interest up. A gentleman whose last name is Morgan, I think his first name is Mike Morgan, has created a website. Seems to me like he has a little bit of advanced understanding of this Rothschild bank that controls America, Goldman Sachs. So he has a website to expose Goldman Sachs. And as I understand it, the Goldman Sachs has put all of their legal power behind an effort legally, filing lawsuits and everything against this Morgan character, try to get him to shut up. But nevertheless, until they get a court order to shut it down, you can go online and read the material on GoldmanSachs666.com. Very appropriately titled, I might add. Now I want to talk to you about Goldman Sachs. Founded in 1869, just 4 years after the Civil War ended in America, the war between the states. Very appropriate and important because President Lincoln, just a few months before he was assassinated, warned America. This was one of his final speeches, and most people don't know much about it, but you can research this final speech, and not final, but one of his last speeches, in which President Abraham Lincoln warned that upon his passing, upon his death, almost as if he had a premonition of it, he said, there will be a conspiracy. He said, it's already formed, and it's ready to grab hold of America. A banking and corporate conspiracy. And he said, America will have never seen anything like it. He knew about the Rothschild Bank. Abraham Lincoln took away the right to print money from the banks and gave it to the U.S. Treasury. I believe that was the reason he was assassinated. John F. Kennedy tried to do the same thing. He quit printing Federal Reserve notes and started printing them as silver certificates, U.S. Treasury bills, redeemable in silver. And he was assassinated. And Lyndon B. Johnson, his successor as president, immediately rescinded the order that he had given. These people will kill, murder, torture, anything to get their way. Now, in my book, Dark Majesty, The Secret Brotherhood and the Magic of 1,000 Points of Light, I gave, this is on page 48 of the book, if you have that book, it's very vital, actually beginning on 47, I gave you the 10 predictions from the Bible where it prophesied a global conspiracy in the last days. 10 key things to look for. And these 10 things are so vital, I believe I'm going to reprint them in my newsletter in a few months. Number 5, well, let me go through them. First of all, global, I can't read it all to you, but global conspiracy with an Illuminist religion, the use of mass hypnosis on the people, a ruling elite, and number 5, an international economic order. I said the super rich will prosper through finance, international trade, and commerce. An international economic order. I gave you the Bible quotes on that. Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17 and 18. Book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, chapter 28, verse 16. Item number 6 of the 10 predictions in the Bible was a money conspiracy. I said the conspirators will gain their wealth and riches by defrauding working people, and they'll control the precious metal markets. You read about that in James 5 and Daniel chapter 11, verses 37 and 38. To fill out my top 10 list, you might say, of prophecies of this new world order in the last days from the Bible, number 7 is occultism. They will use craft or witchcraft and magic. Number 8, deception. So effective in their deception that the masses will go along with their plot. Number 9, they will foment crises and chaos. Bloody and devastating wars, plagues, hunger, oil shortage, pollution of the environment, nuclear catastrophes, and financial calamities. Crises and chaos. You can read about that. Revelation 6, Matthew 24, Zechariah 14, Isaiah 1. But the 10th and final piece of the puzzle prophesied by the Bible to occur in regard to this New World Order elite conspiracy is that it will end in an ultimate defeat of the rich. I like that part. I like that part. In the end, the conspirators, that includes Rothschild and Goldman Sachs and Mr. Obama and Clinton and Bush and all of the gang, they will be totally vanquished because God has always been and is today in control. He allows the conspiracy to exist only to fulfill his will. Now, don't ever forget that key to all things. Some say, is there any hope? Yeah, if you're a believer in Obama, you can run around with those placards and signs that say, hope, change. Yes, we can. But there will come a time when the devil will say, no, you cannot. God will say that to the devil. There will come a time when God will say, not only, no, you cannot, but God will tell the devil and all of these earthly agents of the international economic elite, he will say, you no longer have any hope. You had the possibility of saving your soul, but you loved money too much. And now it's too late for you. Did you know, my friends, in the book of Revelation, there is a certain time when there is silence in heaven? It says for an hour. We don't really know how long that's an hour in God's time. There comes a time when God tells all of heaven, be silent. He won't even hear your prayers then. Silence. People will pray and scream and holler and plead to God for help. Silence. Now, that's all they're going to get. You better watch out, friends. Listen to me. You better watch out if you're delaying calling on God, that the day you cry out in your misery, that it's not too late. And all you will hear is the sound or the non-sound of silence. You better watch out. Recently reading in American Free Press, September 14th edition this year, A Russian named Mr. A.G. Passaro wrote a column, or actually an article here. It says, Russian says Obama has America on the road to Zimbabwe. Of course, the economy of Zimbabwe used to be Rhodesia in Africa, is in an impossible situation. Way beyond collapse, deficit, and bankruptcy. Mr. Passaro, now remember, he's a Russian. He saw what has happened in Russia through the communist era and how all, after the fall of communism, so-called, supposedly, all the Western banks rushed in and the Jewish oligarchs took over Russia. He writes this, he says, like the breaking of a great dam, the American descent into Marxism is happening with breathtaking speed. Against the backdrop of a passive, helpless sheeple. That's a cross between a sheep and a person, a sheeple. Do you get that, friends? Like a great dam, the American descent into Marxism is happening with breathtaking speed. And the people are passive, helpless, like sheep, says this Russian. He says, we Russians, listen to this, the initial testing ground for this was conducted upon our Russia, and a bloody test it was. We Russians would not just roll over and give up our freedoms and our souls, no matter how much money Wall Street moguls poured into the fist of the Marxist. He's saying you Americans are rolling over. You're a bunch of sheep. Even we Russians fared better than you're faring. Folks, we're descending into the septic tank of Marxism, and there's not even a whisper of protest. I did a audio tape, CD report, radio program a couple years ago about this North American Union, and I said, not a whimper of protest from the American people. Not a whimper. We're not going to go out with a bang, but a whimper. In fact, not even a whimper. Silence. Let me tell you something, my friends. Silence breeds cowards. And eventually those cowards will plead to heaven and they will meet silence. And they deserve it. We have got the president we deserve in Barack Obama. We had the crummy, filthy, no good, rotten president we deserved in George W. Bush and Bill Clinton. In fact, those three presidents, those three men are better than we deserve. They're better than we deserve. How do you like that? You say when I text, who are you talking to? Not me. Well, I realize I've got a wonderful audience out here. I'm talking about America as a whole. I'm not talking about you as an individual, friend. I understand you're doing everything you can. You're trying to educate yourself. You're protesting. You're angry. I am angry too. We're fed up. But he talks about the Americans in this article. He says, the population has been dumbed down through a politicized and substandard education system based on pop culture rather than the classics. Americans know more about their favorite TV dramas than the drama in Washington that directly affects their lives. They care more for their right to choke down a McDonald's burger than for their constitutional rights. He says their faith in God has been destroyed. He's talking to America. Your faith in God has been destroyed. Until your churches, the churches of America, this Russian writer says, are for the most part nothing more than Sunday circuses. How do you like having the finger pointed at us by a Russian? How do you like a Russian gentleman pointing his finger and saying, your churches are nothing but a bunch of Sunday circuses? He says, your televangelist and your Protestant mega preachers are more than happy to sell out their souls and flocks to be on the winning side of one pseudo-Marxist politician or another. And listen to this. He said it's not only the pastors and the preachers, it's the people in the pews. They're ever so quick to reject Christ in hopes for earthly power to be on the winning side. The churches of America are scandalously in bed with the Marxists that they have voted for and put in power in Congress and in the White House. You resemble, he said, Zimbabwe. We don't even resemble Russia. We're no better than Zimbabwe, he says. Swindles, crookedness, thugs have taken over America. He ends by saying the American people has taken this with barely a whimper. Forget the word barely. There is no whimpering. You know, Mr. Passaro is right. I'm reading from the book, The Synagogue of Satan, by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. He talks about what happened in Russia. Under these same people that now have grasped the hair of the head of the American public, Hitchcock says these Jewish Rothschild-funded Bolsheviks would go on in the course of history to slaughter 60 million Christians and non-Jews in Soviet-controlled territory. Indeed, writes Mr. Hitchcock, the great author Alexander Solzhenitsyn, in his work Gulag Archipelago, Volume 12, affirms that Jews created and administered the organized Soviet concentration camp system in which these tens of millions of Christians and non-Jews died. Friends, 1970, Mr. Solzhenitsyn would be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for Literature. I remember when Solzhenitsyn came to America, left Russia, came to live in America. One of his first news conference, the press asked Mr. Solzhenitsyn, why do you think what happened to Russia happened? 60 million people massacred by the communist Marxists. How did that happen? His explanation was lucid and direct. The people have forgotten God, he said. Now let me tell you what happened. The press went out of that press room, out of that meeting room, upset with Solzhenitsyn. They didn't like what he said. He had his finger on the very pulse of world history. Why did it happen? They forgot God. And they allowed Jewish monsters, Lenin, Trotsky, and the others, to take over their country, funded in the first place by the Warburgs and the Rothschilds. And now we've got the same thing in America. Now, I want to talk about this new economic order, but particularly Goldman Sachs, a company founded in 1869 by a man named Goldman, but today controlled by the Rothschild faction. If you read Wikipedia, there is a description and a little talk, a story about, or the facts about Goldman Sachs. You'll find out that for the most part, the company is controlled by a pool or a consortium of just over 200 people. But in my research, I discovered that the controlling faction of this pool or consortium, so-called inner circle, is Lord Jacob Rothschild and his other Rothschild family members. They control Goldman Sachs. And it is Goldman Sachs that now grips you and me by the neck. Now, when we return in a minute, I'm going to tell you exactly how this is being done. And I'm going to tell you how we've got what we've got to do about it. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. Today's subject is Goldman Sachs 666. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again. You know, I want to extend a very cordial invitation for you to come and be with us at our Liberty and Truth Conference here in Austin, Texas, April the 10th. That's right around the corner. April the 10th, Saturday. It's going to be from 9 a.m. in the morning. It's going to last till 6 p.m. We'll get you out in time for dinner. But during the day, we're going to give you a catered lunch. It's going to be at the Airport Hilton Hotel. On our website, powerofprophecy.com. You can find all about it, including the names of the speakers. We're going to have great speakers. And, of course, I'll be there. I'll be doing my level best to tell you more about Rothschild, Goldman Sachs, the Obama conspiracy, and what is happening to an America in chaos. But my good friend Michael Collins Piper, who's written books such as Dirty Secrets and The New Babylon, he wrote a book called Final Judgment about the JFK assassination and who was really responsible for it. He will be there. Pat Shannon, investigative reporter, I call him the ace reporter for the American Free Press, will be there. Mark Anderson, who's done so much fighting the banking interest, will be there. And then my good friend, Nurse Joyce Riley, will be there talking about God's medicine, the answer to your health needs. So we're going to talk about Zionism and American chaos and assassinations and cover-ups and the media and banking conspiracies, Liberty and Truth Conference, April the 10th. Now, folks, we would love for you to register in advance. Just $50 a person. Just $50 a person. So a couple can come for $100. Austin is a beautiful place. Come and stay at the Airport Hilton. We'll give you their phone number. You can call us. We'll give you information. Or you can go to our website. The Airport Hilton is given special rates of $99 a night. Just $99 a night. It's a nice hotel. Of course, you can dress casual. You don't have to come as, it's not one of these fancy places. This is Austin, Texas. This is a casual place. Sort of come as you are, okay? Now, April the 10th, right around the corner. If you can register in advance, call us toll free 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. If you need more information, call up, and our friendly folks here will tell you all about the conference. We'll take all the time that you need to make sure you understand how to get here and so forth. We'll tell you, we'll give you a map if need be. We'll send you information on this conference. Again, a great meal we've got prepared for you. Probably be Texas Mexican style, Tex-Mex. If you like tacos and fajitas, I bet you're going to have all kinds of stuff, enchiladas. And if you don't want that, we'll get you something else, whatever you want to eat. We'll figure it out for you, but we're going to have lunch there for you as part of that $50 price. So again, five speakers in all. Then we're going to have a questions and answer session. So you can grill us yourself. You can interrogate us. Put us on the griddle. I like that. Turn up the heat. Okay. We've got some people going to speak. They can take it. But we'd love to have you, and I'd love to meet you. Wanda's going to be there. We'll have a book table, our newest books. You don't have to buy any of the books, but I think you'll enjoy seeing some of the materials we have on the tables. American Free Press, the newspaper from Washington, D.C., will have their materials there. We want you to come April the 10th. Now, if by chance you decide at the last moment to come and say, ooh, I didn't register, well, show up at the door. We'll register you right there. So it's $50 a person. Come on down. And I'm, you know, so, well, I forgot to register. Well, I don't care. Jump in your car and come down. We're going to have registration 8 o'clock to 9 a.m. on April the 10th. Have a whole hour there in the morning. We'll register you right there. Give you a little name tag and send you on in with the rest of the group. You're going to meet people from all over the United States. Lovely people. And again, I want to shake hands with you. If necessary to get you there, I'll hug your neck. I don't care how ugly you are. You haven't seen me yet. So, I'm not going to brag. So come on down. No, we want to see you. We love you. And we want to give you information so we can restore liberty and we can uphold truth. That's the meaning of Liberty and Truth Conference. Our first inaugural conference held in cooperation, the American Free Press newspaper from Washington, D.C. Again, our phone number 1-800-234-9673. Or go online, powerofprophecy.com. And I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, or something in between, or maybe you're a member of the Jabberwocky political party. Is there a Jabberwocky? I don't think there really is. I know I made that up. Yeah. But actually, I think both of the Democrat Republican parties are the Jabberwocky parties. Oh, my goodness. Well, we hope to see you there. April the 10th. Come and we'll register you at the door if necessary. Whatever it takes, we'll get you in there and we'll have a real good time. Now, let's return to our regular program. We're talking today about Goldman Sachs 666. many people today are frightened about what's going on, and you know, they don't know what to do. I was reading, and Don McIlvaney, a good friend of mine, his newsletter, January 2010, he said that people are abandoning such cities as New York. New Yorkers are fleeing the state of the city in alarming numbers. More than 1.5 million state residents have left for other parts of the United States from the year 2000 to 2008. They're leaving California too. They're jumping in their jalopies and heading off somewhere else because California's about bankrupt. But make sure you go to the right place because, as I understand it, Michigan, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and other states, they're in jeopardy too of going bankrupt. We are becoming Zimbabwe. And somebody's behind this, my friends. Somebody is pulling the plug on America. Well, our president went over to Europe recently to the G20 meeting back in late September. And he pushed there for a new economic world order. That was the U.S. position. Actually, I said it was overseas. I was thinking of the Copenhagen global warming meeting. This one, the new economic world order, G20, meaning the top 20 countries in the world. Actually, this was held in Pittsburgh. China was there, Germany, Japan, and of course, our esteemed President Barack Hussein Obama was there. Now, Obama called for something very interesting at the meeting. And then later he talked at the United Nations. Let me tell you what President Obama said before the United Nations Assembly. He said, quote, "The people of the world won't change. They will not tolerate those who are on the wrong side of history." Well, evidently, friends, Tex Mars and possibly you, the listener, are on the wrong side of history, according to Barack Obama. He says, now is the time. The time has come, said Barack Obama to the United Nations Assembly, for the world to move in a new direction. Our work must begin now. Our work must begin now. Well, you know, everybody got to serve somebody. That's what Bob Dylan said in a song about 25 years ago. Everybody's got to serve somebody. A lot of people say, Tex, who do you work for at Power Prophecy? Well, I serve God. I serve God. And if I don't do a good job for him, he's disappointed in me. I don't like disappointing God. I like to make him happy because he's the greatest boss in the world. And let me tell you something. Barack Obama serves somebody too. He's put there by God. You may not know it, friends, but every prime minister, president, chancellor, every world leader is placed in their high position by God. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And they rule in place of God. And Paul said in Romans that that is their responsibility. They're commissioned by God. They're like commissioned officers. And if they don't do their job right, and if they don't serve the right God, they're in dire trouble. Now, the Bible tells us that we should obey those appointed over us to rule over us, as long as they in turn serve their boss, who is God. I don't mind at all serving a president who works for God. But if his God is the devil, I'm not going to pay one bit of mind to the man. If his God is the tyrannical master of hell, don't expect me to get in line and salute crisply when he comes down the walkway, the plank. Reading to you an interesting article from MarketWrap.com, an article written by Perry Rod, published April 27, 2009. The title of this article says, "Barack Obama, another captured pawn of Goldman Sachs Wall Street." According to Mr. Rod, Barack Obama's boss is Goldman Sachs and Wall Street. He doesn't work for the American people. He doesn't work for the true God in heaven. He works for Goldman Sachs. Well, if that's true, maybe we better find out who Goldman Sachs works for. Who is the CEO and the chairman of the board of Goldman Sachs, and who is his boss? Well, that's already in business journals. You can find it in encyclopedias. You can find it online. A man named Lloyd Blankfein, a Zionist Jew, is chairman and CEO, Mr. Lloyd Blankfein. But who owns the controlling interest, the shares of Goldman Sachs stock? It's a man named Lord Jacob Rothschild, the fourth baron of the Rothschild dynasty, along with his son, Nathaniel Rothschild, and David Rothschild, and Evelyn Rothschild, and a couple more Rothschilds. They're the consortium that control Goldman Sachs. Now, folks, you and I can actually go to our stockbroker, our local stockbroker. I don't care if it's who it is, E.F. Hutton or Merrill Lynch or E-Trade or TD Ameritrade. And you can buy stock in Goldman Sachs. And you can say, I own stock in Goldman Sachs. But don't think for a moment you control it, the company. You can go to the shareholders meeting every year, too. But don't think they're going to listen much to what you have to say or your ideas. Because even according to Wikipedia online, it says that only about 12% of the stock is held by the public. The rest is privately held. And Barack Obama then works for a Goldman Sachs. He's a pawn, a captured pawn of Goldman Sachs. And Goldman Sachs is Mr. Blankfein. That's, he rules over it from his fancy building that looks out across the New York Harbor from New Jersey. They also have a New York City Manhattan address. But Mr. Blankfein works for Rothschild, and who does he work for? Who is his god? Heinrich Heine, a very famous German philosopher of the 19th century. Said money is the god of the Jews and Rothschild is his prophet. Maybe Rothschild is a false prophet. Or maybe Rothschild could be the Antichrist. The London Times is one of the most famous newspapers of the last couple hundred years. I was recently reading the November 8th online edition of the London Times. They just call it the Times. You know, it's so famous, they don't have to say London Times anymore. Just the Times. Here's an interesting article from the Sunday Times newspaper. I'm doing God's work. Meet Mr. Goldman Sachs. That's the title of this article. I'm doing God's work. Meet Mr. Goldman Sachs. Mr. Lloyd Blankfein, chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs, is quoted in the Times newspaper when questioned as to who Goldman Sachs really, what it stands for, what it's doing in the world, he said, I'm doing God's work. Now, they were sort of stunned. I believe many people on Wall Street were stunned, were startled to hear the chairman of the most powerful bank in the entire world say, I'm doing God's work. Well, we're going to find out what God's work is all about in just a moment, because I want to tell you what Goldman Sachs has been doing to you and your money, friends, and to you and your country, and to you and your constitution. I'm doing God's work. I believe Mr. Blankfein tells the truth. His God is Rothschild, whose God in turn is Satan. And so Mr. Blankfein is doing Satan's work right here on earth. This article goes on to say that in interviewing Mr. Blankfein, they gained the reporter, their reporter, John Orlich, gained unprecedented access to the world's most powerful and most secretive investment bank. You understand? The London Times itself says that Goldman Sachs is the world's most powerful and most secretive investment bank. Let me read you the first paragraph. You'll get the gist of what the meaning of all this is. It says, number 85 Broad Street, a dull, rust-colored office block in Lower Manhattan, doesn't look like a place to stop and stare. And that's just the way the people who work there like it. The men and women who arrive in the watery dawn arrive dressed in Wall Street black, clutching black briefcases, carrying BlackBerry telephones. They are very, very private. They walk quietly from their black Lincoln Town Car limos to the lobby. Past, well, nothing really. There's no nameplate on the building, no sign on the front desk. and the armed policeman stationed outside isn't saying who works there, there's a good reason for the secrecy. Number 85 Broad Street, New York, New York, 10004 is where the money is. All of it. Did you get that? This address is where the money is. America's money? Mm-mm. All of it. The whole world's money. Now, Mr. Blankfein himself, according to the New York Observer real estate section that I researched, just bought a house, a new condo. His address, by the way, and I don't want you to do anything about it. I don't want to harass the man. Pray for the guy. He needs prayer. But it's evidently he just signed a $26 million cash contract for his 16th floor duplex with the ritzy, luxurious address 15 Central Park West. That's where he lives. How would you like to pay $26 million cash for your condo at 15 Central Park West? Cash! He didn't have to worry about a mortgage. He didn't have to worry about interest rates. He paid $26 million cash for his condo. Let's talk a little bit more about Goldman Sachs. Increasingly, dear friends, thoughtful and innovative researchers are discovering the astonishing political and financial power possessed by the Goldman Sachs network. Kyle Pope, formerly a writer for the Wall Street Journal, now reporting for the Los Angeles Times, published in that newspaper on June the 4th, 2006, an investigative article. Now, this is the Los Angeles Times. And a former guy who formerly was with the Wall Street Journal. The article that he wrote is entitled, Goldman Sachs Rules the World. Now, remember, I've already read you the article, the news item, which said Barack Obama is a captured pawn, P-A-W-N, of Goldman Sachs Wall Street. I read you that. I read you from the London Times where it says that all of the money can be found at Goldman Sachs, the whole world's money. Now we're reading the Los Angeles Times, an article entitled Goldman, or headline entitled Goldman Sachs Rules the World. Now, let's see what the gentleman, Mr. Pope, had to say. He said in the article, quote, Goldman Sachs alums, that's alumni, now run the White House, the state of New Jersey, and the New York Stock Exchange. Not since John D. Rockefeller's Standard Oil, and maybe not even then, has one firm exerted such muscle over national economic and fiscal policy. This company is ruling the world. Folks, Bill Clinton had a Secretary of Treasury named Robert Rubin. Robert Rubin just happened between doing, you know, government time as Secretary of the Treasury and so forth, happened to have Mr. Blankfein's job previously. Chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs. Clinton made him his Secretary of the Treasury. And then there's George W. Bush, the man who brought us into financial bankruptcy and created the TARP money and the bank bailout and all that other stuff. Working with his Secretary of Treasury, a man named Henry Paulson. But where did he get Mr. Paulson? Well, it seems that before he went to the Bush White House, Mr. Paulson was making $38 million a year, not counting bonuses, which accumulated up to $100 million a year, as chairman and CEO of what bank? Of course, Goldman Sachs. But it wasn't George Bush a Republican? And wasn't Bill Clinton a liberal Democrat? How could they each choose as their Secretary of Treasury the chairman of Goldman Sachs? Wouldn't each one have ruled differently? One would be conservative and one would be liberal. Folks, listen to me. There is no conservative and liberal factions in Washington, D.C. As Gerald Celente, a well-known insider, has said, Wall Street is Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. is Wall Street. End of subject. Period. Pope also noted that Goldman Sachs CEO, when he was the CEO, Henry Paulson, had visited China more than 70 times. Goldman Sachs is very interested in China. In fact, friends, Goldman Sachs takes care of the Chinese banking business around the world. The Los Angeles Times article said, you know, there might be a connection with the falling dollar on world markets and Goldman Sachs. Oh, yeah? Could there be? Well, by the way, I have another article for you from another newspaper, one of the most well-known newspapers in Great Britain, the Independent newspaper, dated July 22, 2008. Their article was headlined, How Goldman Sachs Took Over the World. In other words, the Los Angeles Times says Goldman Sachs rules the world. The Independent newspapers tells you how Goldman Sachs took over the world. And meanwhile, MarketWrap Online tells you that Barack Obama is a captured pawn of Goldman Sachs that rules the world, that took over the world. Rich Smith, personal finance columnist for townhall.com on March the 3rd, 2010, had an interesting remark. He said of Goldman Sachs, quote, never in the annals of investment banking has a company been so reviled, admired, envied, and feared. Feared. I'm not fearful of Goldman Sachs. I'm angry, folks. I was recently reading Business Insider and Bloomberg.com. Let me tell you about these articles. Dylan Radican is one of the financial hosts, sort of the reporters, on CNBC Business Network, TV network. I sort of like Dylan Radican. Seemed like an honest guy. To work for CNBC, that's a strange thing, maybe. To work for any of the media today, and be honest. I used to watch a program called Fast Money because I wanted to see what they were doing in the stock market. I keep up with every trend possible. You know, Wanda says to me, how can you know what's going on in Hollywood, Broadway, in world capitals, Wall Street, and all these things simultaneously? Then you watch all the stock market channels and get information. Folks, you got to put it all together. You got to know who's in control of the whole world, culturally, educationally, financially, religiously. And that's the job God's given me. And I already told you, I don't want to disappoint him. So I work 16, 18 hours a day at my job. And I work for you too, friends. A lot of people out there who've been with this ministry a long time and been getting our newsletters, you know that when you look back at my books like Project Lucid, where I told you about these DNA databanks, I told you in my book Megaforces about the coming a national ID card. I told you about that in Project Lucid. I told you about the days of hunger and chaos in my book. All these things, none of them are new to you who've been following this ministry. I'm not here to say I told you so. I'm just here to say I'm just doing my job. I'm God's humble servant. And if it weren't for God, I'd be a colossal failure. And maybe according to the world, I am. I don't know. Dylan Radigan said something, and boy, no wonder he's not on Fast Money anymore. He used to be the host of that show. Now they took him off of Fast Money, which was like a premier show, and now he's on some early morning show. I've missed the guy all the time. Here may be why. He said on air, he actually said on CNBC, quote, Goldman Sachs is robbing us blind. Goodbye, Dylan Radigan. You're too honest, folks. Now, folks, several months ago, I did a radio program. You can still order the CD or RTP entitled Planet Petroleum. Planet Petroleum. I said the world is awash in oil. And I explained why the price of oil per barrel went up to a rocketed, incredible, astronomical $147 a barrel 2 years ago. Broke the back of America's economy. The whole world's on top of this mortgage and credit crunch. Was the price of oil going up? You have to understand what happened. President Clinton and then Bush got together and allowed these bankers to do all this stuff, and they set up this hocus-pocus new commodities exchange in London called the International Commodities Exchange, or ICE. And believe me, that's an appropriate name, ICE, because they put the whole world on ICE. And then they turned on their Bunsen burner and fired it up, and they're melting the world after icing it. Listen to me. ICE was set up by two banking outfits, Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, their sister firm, another control bank. Rothschild has an assortment of banks. He has his own bank in London called N.M. Rothschild & Sons. There's a Rothschild branch in New York City. There's a Rothschild branch in Australia. There's one in France. There's one in Rome, Italy. And here's what they did. They bought oil futures and drove the price to 147. And they sucked everybody in, and everybody, Goldman Sachs came out with a report and said, oil is going up to $250 a barrel. You better buy it while you can. And the price of gasoline just shot straight up. And men without really any brains, but with a lot of risk capability in their personalities, their temperaments, bought oil futures. And they rocketed up to 147. Then suddenly it began to collapse. Now let me tell you what I believe was happening. Goldman Sachs got everybody excited, put out this report, said oil's going to 250, buy, buy, buy. But after it got to 147, they collapsed it. They pulled out the plugs, the props, and it just went boom. And did you know oil started falling and falling and falling? Until finally last year, it reached the low of $32 a barrel. From around 50 to 147 and then back down to 32. Here's what the Goldman Sachs of this world do. They con people and drive up the price of a commodity like oil or gold. Then they turn around and sell it short. They sell it short. And they want the price this time to go down. So they've driven the price up. Now they want it to go down. Because they will sell it short at 147 and buy it back at, let's say, 50 or 30. They get money going both ways. That's what Goldman Sachs did. And so many American investors bought oil at 120, 130, 140, only to suddenly see it go straight down after that. Goldman Sachs rides it both ways. They're like a bisexual gay man. They go both ways. Listen to me. They're going to do that to gold, too. I know you're listening to all those gold marketeers out there that are telling you gold can only go up. You better watch out. Gold can go down faster than it can go up. And gold, the price of gold and silver and all precious things are controlled by the Rothschilds and by Goldman Sachs. And they'll drive it up to $5,000 an ounce if they want to, and then gold will be $20 an ounce a year later if they can make money. Are we running out of time? Really? My goodness. I'm just getting going. Goldman Sachs, robbing this plan. Control the world. Goldman Sachs, 666. Boy, I have so much for you. Did you know that a secret AIG document shows Goldman Sachs minted most of those toxic derivative swaps that cause the American economy to go straight downhill? That was from February 23rd, Bloomberg.com. Goldman Sachs. I'm doing God's work, says Mr. Blankfein, and he is. He works for Satan. And Rothschild is his prophet. And money is their motive. And Barack Obama and Rahm Emanuel do whatever they say. And Mr. Gettner, he'll do what they say. And the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, Mr. Larry Summers in the White House, also was a former Goldman Sachs executive. Wall Street, Washington, D.C., London, Tokyo, Buenos Aires, wherever you're at in the world, Goldman Sachs is the Rothschild Bank. There are others, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Barclays Bank over in Great Britain. But over them all is Goldman Sachs, 666. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. This is Tex Mars. Been great to be with you today. I wish I'd had 2 hours. Have enough materials here. I'm going to do more about this hideous Frankenstein monster, this money creature that's taken over the United States and is driving us into utter economic catastrophe. And my prayer is that you tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.